You are listening to a True Gospel Perspective from our Macedonia Baptist Church ministerial staff. We pray that this message will be a true blessing to you.
Hebrews, the 11th chapter. I want to read the first six scriptures there from the King James Version. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. The compendium of this book, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. From these six verses, we lift our theme. Yes, when hope ends, faith begins. When hope ends, faith begins. Yes, Lord. Listen, I want to talk about the author just for a minute. You see, the author of Hebrews is not recorded, therefore its author cannot be, substantiated. However, I believe that Paul is the author because of the writing style, which is parallel to his other epistles. There are a few examples. I won't try and go into them, but Hebrews 1 and 3 parallels with Colossians 1, 15 through 17. And there are others. But we want to note that the content, the purpose, the setting, and the key people all reflect Paul's knowledge and exposition concerning Christianity. Yes. The purpose, is presented. The sufficiency and the superiority of Christ. Let me say that again. The sufficiency and the superiority of Christ. Yes. We see the setting. Jewish Christians were undergoing fierce persecution and, needed to be reassured that Christianity was true and that Jesus is the Messiah. Finally, the key evidence in the text were Old Testament, patriarchs, Old Testament women and men of faith. Matter of fact, Hebrew is a masterful epistle written to Jews who were evaluating Jesus and the struggles with their new faith. The message of Hebrews is that Jesus is better. Christianity is superior. Christ is supreme and completely sufficient for salvation. Boy, I should say that again. Listen. Yes. Jesus is better. Better than any other religion. Better. Yes. Christ is superior. Christ is supreme and completely sufficient for salvation. Therefore, Hebrews was written to present to us and to the Jews at that time the sufficiency and the superiority of Jesus the Christ. Yes. In this 11th chapter, beginning at verse 1 through 5, it gives us the formula, yes, for a successful Christian life. By presenting to us, presenting to them, the ingredients and great example that we today might have faith. Faith in God through Christ makes our hope, yes, a reality. Yes. Yes, it do. You see, hope is a desire. Just giving a little clarity here now. Hope is a desired expectation. Yes, and faith is a commitment to our belief and expectation. Listen at Paul, if you will, in Romans, the 8th chapter, verses 24 and 25, reading from the New Living Translation. We were given this hope when we were saved. He interjects, if we already have something, we don't need to hope for it. Why would you be hoping and expecting what you already have? Oh, I've been born again. I'm not hoping to be born again. Oh, I'm a child of the King. I'm not hoping for a relationship with God. Thank you, Jesus. Watch out, Reverend Register. Yes. Listen to Paul, if you will. We don't need to hope for that. But if we look forward to something we don't yet have, we must wait patiently and confidently for it. Yes. What are we waiting for as Christians? What were they waiting for? To live eternally in God's kingdom. Watch out. Wow. Yes. Listen, you see, hope is a dream, an anticipated idea, or wishful thinking. And faith is the reality of an idea, dream, or wishes. No, hope is the catalyst. Don't get blown away with this word, but hope is the catalyst for faith. Yes. Hope ends and, yes, faith begins. Yes. As we commit to fulfilling, yes, our expected desires. Yes. You see, a catalyst is simply a person or an event causing change. Yes, sir. Someone or something effecting change. Watch out, Reverend Register. Jesus effected change when I got to know him for myself. He effected change in Reverend Register's life. That was Clifford at the time, or Slick. That's what he was known as. Yes, yes. But he affected change in my life. What about you? I heard the preacher preaching, old Arkansas preaching. Preaching hell and condemnation. I was sitting in the church because my auntie made me go. My sister encouraged me that I need to hear him. But I was sitting there looking at the girls. I was sitting there thinking about everything but Jesus. But I heard that old Arkansas preacher talking about a change has to take place in your life. If you want to live eternally in God's kingdom, otherwise your future is condemnation. Yes, that's what salvation is. Imminent deliverance from imminent danger. And I said, I want that. I need that. I found myself walking the aisle. And ever since that day, thank you, Jesus, a change has come over me. Yes, yes, yes. What about you? All right. Yes, Lord. So we see. Everyone has goals and desires, anticipated ideas, and our hopes are challenged by circumstances, situations, and conditions. Yes, and especially for those who strive to live a Christian life. You see, Paul, in his prison epistle, the pastoral epistle, in 2 Timothy 3 and 12, he denotes, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. When we look back and reflect over 2020, we find that we are dealing with heartaches, difficulties as a result of this pandemic. But look at God, if you will. He has shut down, yes, every nation throughout this world with this COVID-19. But that's not the end of it. Yes, we have watched loved ones die. But loved ones have been dying for years. But in this pandemic, he has shut down governments. People are worried about the economic condition of our nation. Yes, it has changed our way of living. Social distance has become a common language where we used to say fellowship. Churches, we are spacing ourselves. We're becoming comfortable at home. But what's disturbing to me is the church. We seem to be fearful at God's manifestation of his divine power, shaking up the world and reminding the world who's in charge. Oh, glory to God. We're saying Happy New Year. But what's disturbing to me is our New Year's resolution. Yes, I desire to lose weight. I done turned into a little plump butterball. Yes, sir. But when we When we look at this, my wishful thinking is losing weight. I'm just using myself as an example. Now, if you happen to fit that category, my wishful thinking is to lose weight. But am I convicted and committed to it? Watch out, Reverend Register. Look at our society. Look at people in the church. My wife brought to my attention this resolution for 21 is almost here. And listen at the message, if you will. My 2021 New Year's wish for you is 12 months of happiness, 52 weeks of fun and laughter, 365 days of success, 8,760 hours of good health, 525,600 minutes of blessings, and 31,536,000 seconds of joy. Amen. Have a blessed day and a prosperous new year. Well, my challenge is for that perspective. What about living raptured ready? What about committing our lives to Christ? What about us having an observation for the formula for Christian life, being saved and delivered from eternal damnation? Oh, listen, this formula, which occurs in three stages: desire, conviction, and commitment. Desire being the hope, the gulf between aspiration and reality. Conviction being the belief, a firmly held belief or opinion, while commitment being faith is being dedicated and engaging in a cause. Now the question to you this morning: what or who is the object of your hope? The scripture reminds us again, Paul, in the 12th chapter. He says in that first and second verse, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I said reasonable service. Are you striving in this year with a hope of living raptured ready? Oh, this is not our home. We're here to serve, and we're here to serve emphatically. Yes, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. What you talking about, Reverend Richards? Listen, hope, yes, should be a desired expectation after hearing the gospel, something to aspire for and achieve. Paul again writes in the 10th chapter, verses 8 through 10. But what saith it? The word, yes, I say the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. To become a Christian is important. We must be able to connect the minds of the unbelievers and the message of the gospel. We must take God's great message of salvation to others, and they can respond to the good news. Those who do not have faith cannot, yes, see past the physical realm of this world. They are limited by their temporal circumstances and are blind to what God can do. Yes, but those of us who have spiritual eyes, yes, come on, preacher, can see the spiritual realities which transcends this world. I said transcend. There is always mountains to climb in this world. There's always barriers to tear down in this world. There will always be struggles in this world. Jesus reminded his disciples, yes, in the 16th chapter, in that 33rd verse, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace, but in the world you shall have tribulation. But I like how he sums it up. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Yes. You see, their hope, that is the Christian, is in the strength of God and his faithfulness. And by applying these three formulas, the stage or the process of hope, belief, and faith, desired conviction and commitment. Faith is the connecting power of the spiritual realm, which unites us with God, and he becomes the tangible reality in our life. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, faith is the basis or the basic ingredients necessary for beginning a relationship with God. Faith is the assurance, I did say the assurance, that the things revealed and promised in God's word are true and right, even the unseen, and gives believer conviction of what we expect through faith will happen. It becomes the reality of the spiritual realm of our faith. Yes, when we look in our text, as we move along, in that first verse, it defines and describes how faith works. Faith is the substance. It's the tangible. It's the matter, and it's the conviction that we apply to make our hopes a reality. Oh, I'm right about it. I know I'm right about it. You see, while hope is the optimistic perspective, it requires faith's fulfilling ability to accomplish our desires. Hope inspires one's desires, and faith engages actions, causing our desires to become a reality. Yes, therefore, Faith is the key that unlocks the door to God's heart. Yes, in that second verse, reading from the New Living Translation, through their faith, the people in the days of old earned a good report. They had a pleasing relationship with God. He verifies that. And then in that third verse, he reasons with us to have us to understand that it takes more than just the hope. Well, what does James say about this? In James 2, 19 and 20, he says, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believed and trembled. But will thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Listen, I know I'm gonna mess with some of you right now. I'm reminded of the Reverend Jesse Jackson in 1988 at the Democratic National Convention at the Omni Coliseum in Atlanta. And he used the phrase, if my mind can conceive it, my heart can believe it, I know I can achieve it. And he coined the phrase at the conclusion, keep hope alive. Well, I don't want to perpetuate hope because it's only a desire. As far as this society is concerned, the objective of the Rainbow Coalition was to bring about social change and equality in our government and in our society. Well, can I help you? You're talking about sinful people in a sinful world full of greed. There will always be class struggles in our society. So no, Jesse, I don't want to keep hope alive. I want to move on to conviction and commitment to acting on faith and belief in Jesus Christ and live raptured ready. That's all I'm talking about. You see, life, yes. Listen, hope is a desired expectation while faith is acting, doing, moving beyond expectation. Stop hoping, yes, and make things happen. That's when hope ends and faith begins. Listen, this hope that you have requires belief, and belief is that conviction, but faith is the commitment that pleases God emphatically. Acting without doubt, acting in a forceful and clearly trusting way with God. I'm reminded of this expression. Hope keeps spinning in place like a vehicle stuck in mud, just stuck in desire. But when you put a rock in the hole, you have something to grip. You see, the foundation to stand on something and move forward. Jesus is the rock. I'm reminded of an old gospel hymn composed, yes, by a Baptist preacher by the name of Edward Mott, who was inspired by the scriptures, God's word. And his inspiration was the immutable basis for a sinner's hope. And it goes like this. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust, yes, the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. on Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. So my question to you this morning, what and who is the object of your hope? What and who is the object of your belief? What and who is the object of your faith? Are you trusting in Jesus? Paul reminds us again in 1 Timothy 2 and 12. He records, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know on whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he's able, yes he is, to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." If you're gonna look to somebody, I encourage you to look to Jesus. Jesus, I tell you, the lily of the valley. Jesus, I tell you, the one that came down through 42 generations. Jesus, the only one that pleased God. I want to be like Jesus, committed in my faith. I tell you, Jesus came into this world. Yes, he did. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He opened blinding eyes. But that wasn't the mission. The mission was to go to Calvary for you and I. Oh, glory to the Lamb of God. Jesus went to Calvary. He gave his hand to the cross. They rivet his feet. He stayed there on the cross, hung his head in the locks of his shoulders, gave up the ghost. He died, I tell you, was taken down, buried in a borrowed tomb. But oh, Jesus, oh, Jesus, he got up on the third day morning. Thank you, Jesus, for you and I. He held all power. Glory to God. Give your life to Jesus. He's the one. Give your life.
We hope you enjoyed this message today, and we pray that it was a true blessing to you. If you are interested in learning more about Pastor Charles D. Twyman and the Macedonia Baptist Church family, you can reach out to us at www.mbcdet.com. Thank you, and God bless you.